This is Scott Becker with Becker's Healthcare. I'm excited to be joined today by Gabe Orthos. Gabe is the Chief Information Officer at the Central Georgia Health Network. He's going to talk to us about a number of trends in healthcare and himself, and just a pleasure to visit with him today. Gabe, can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Absolutely. Thank you, Scott, for having me. My name is Gabe Orthos. I am the Chief Information Officer at Central Georgia Health Network. And for the past 10 years, I've been towards this journey of transformation around our healthcare space, really focusing on value-based payments, value-based care, as well as population health management. I am also an adjunct professor at Sacred Heart University, as well as Georgia State University, teaching our next generation of leaders on population health management.
And let me ask you a question about that. First, do you love the teaching? Do you enjoy the teaching?
Absolutely. I think that everybody's a teacher and everybody should be a teacher and really portray the next generation of students, whether that's in their own companies or maybe going out and doing adjunct professor like I do. But I really, really like this idea of teaching the next generation of informaticists and social workers, as well as, the things around social determinants of health, around understanding these different payment models, costing utilization, risk, quality measures, right? I mean, there's so many different, a plethora of information out there, and giving both bachelor's and master's students really the perspective of the changing world and how we need to change it in our generation, because it is becoming unsustainable from a cost perspective. And so all of these different things are extremely important for me. Very passionate about it.
That's just fantastic. And let me ask you another question. Just tell us a little bit about how you became CIO of a large health network. Before we get into discussing healthcare trends and some of the trends in the business, give us a moment on how you got there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my journey started really working for McKesson Corporation. I came in through the Per Se acquisition, which later became Relay Health. So really my teachings in healthcare began with revenue cycle, with understanding charges, collections, adjustments, denial rates, cash flow for these providers on a very fee-for-service world of 10 plus years ago. Then I went on to work for a population health management company, which got me really the understanding of HEDIS measures, quality, how do we define quality, numerator, denominator, minus exceptions and exclusions. And then really understanding the risk of a population, right? And what does that mean? HCC, is it the John Hopkins, ACG, you know, these different models around risk. And then moved on to more of the care transitions, care management components, right? How do we define success in programs like CCM and TCM? So that progression kind of got me through then into a consulting role that got me working with many different organizations and CINs, IDNs, ICOs throughout the United States, and really understanding the different topology of these networks and how do they come together, relationship between primary care specialists, the specialists to the hospitals to the FQHCs, et cetera, right? There's so many different components and movements around these different health networks. And then I've been lucky to serve the providers in Central Georgia around the Macon area, around how do we define this different IT information exchange data quality perspective around these models of interoperability. And as you may know, Mr. Scott, we have a little bit of a problem with interoperability in this country, unfortunately. And so I've been at the forefront of really understanding what that means at the clinical level, at the point of care level, at the network level, right? So how do we send data back and forth between these health systems, but not just send data from a connectathon perspective, but how do we make it actionable? And how do we make it so patient care becomes a better prop? So does that give you kind of a sense of my 20-year career?
Very much, and thank you, and congratulations on where you're at today. Just fantastic. What are the two or three biggest issues that you view in sort of health IT today?
Yeah, I think I alluded to the interoperability issues that we've had, right? Through Meaningful Use 1 and 2, we've created clinical systems and workflows that have been very much siloed. Unfortunately, now we have a plethora of different EMR systems. On top of that, we built revenue cycle systems or practice management systems that also have their own data silos. on top of that, now you have things around HIEs and, you know, health information exchange, population health management vendors that have, whether, you know, they're all part of the EMR or not, agnostic aggregators, I call them. You have kind of this plethora of data around our patient populations, but we still have the same working models of a fee-for-service world of really instantiating a patient at the point of care, right? And every single time I got to fill out the same forms, right? So we still haven't gotten to a point where this data is being used just at the very kind of foundational level of really understanding who our patients are and where are they using the system. I mean, that to me is basic, and unfortunately, we haven't been able to get to that point. Obviously, there's programs out there that have done this, and there's health systems, very robust and mature health systems that are starting to do extremely knowledgeable things around their patients' data. But the number one issue still remains interoperability holistically throughout the United States, in my opinion, humble opinion.
No, it's a big, big issue. And before I go back to asking you a couple about your career highlights and challenges and so forth, what advice do you have for healthcare leaders? Any sort of general advice that you've got for healthcare leaders?
I mean, it's the progression of learning and continually learn and step outside of the politics and sometimes of the toxic politics that exist in all of healthcare, right? I think that working on different modalities of healthcare, different modalities of CINs and how a network comes together has given me a perspective of not knowing, you know, everything, right? Because everybody's still trying to figure it out. And it's very transformative, and it's very much a challenge to really look at only your four walls of a hospital or look at your four walls of any type of modality of healthcare that you work in and step out of that, right? And conferences are good, et cetera, like that, but also finding kind of who the linchpins in these organizations are going to be and promoting them to the next level, right? One of the biggest detriments, I think, for us as healthcare leaders is doing things over and over and over again and expecting different results, right? The definition of insanity from Einstein's mem that I saw the other day, right? So that's number one. And the second detriment is I don't know what I don't know. Right. So if, when I hear an organization or somebody say that, I cringe because, you know, we have so much data. We have so much insight. These problems have been solved before. So saying things like, I don't know what I don't know is really bad for organizations in general.
Thank you. So I really took three things out of that. One is that this constant learning, particularly not to stop learning as you get more mid-level or senior in your career, you have to keep on learning for a number of different reasons. One is to keep your own fire alive and going and your mind going. Second is to stay out of the internal politics of an organization. Don't get caught up in the internal fights one way or the other. Try and be constructive and positive constantly. And the third thing I got from you is help sponsor people, help grow people, help promote people, give them opportunities, and keep on helping them move in the right direction. And I think those are all great pieces of advice. Talk for a moment about your career, just sort of what you're most proud of and any setbacks that you faced.
Yeah, I mean, I've been the kind of person that I've never actually had a dream, like my life dream. You know, we talk to our kids, I have three kids, and, you know, we always talk about you should have a dream for the remainder of your life, right? What is the one thing that you always wanted to do when you're in your deathbed? You're like, I accomplished my dreams. My dreams happen every day, okay? My dreams are very short sprints. My thing is about moving the needle in the right direction. So I've been proud of that progress. And it's a roller coaster, by the way. It's not a straight line kind of experience. But the things that I've been proud of is really elevating providers. The things that make me wake up in the morning and you know, and thank my God and thank everything that I have is giving the foundation of technology, information, people, process to providers, right? So that they can do their job and make our populations better. Because at the end of the day, that's what I care about, and I care about both Hispanic population, being a Hispanic myself, in a leadership position, right? My dad has diabetes, my son has asthma, right? So it's very intimate. And so whenever I see these programs work, whenever I see care management or now with remote patient monitoring, for example, these programs do work. And so that's something that gives me a lot of joy in life. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, no, you answered it perfectly, and I love that. It's not like a big list of like a bucket list or a big, I want to do this, I want to do that. What you said essentially is, look, I want to contribute every day in a positive way. Some days it works, some days it doesn't, but that's the core, and it really is the journey, not the destination, which is often the happiest and the best people really view it that way. It's really, what am I doing every day, and does it work for me, and can I help my community as well? I'm part of many communities, but I'm also part of the Hispanic community, and I want to be a contributor to that and the healthcare there as well as everybody's community. No, I love that. And Gabe, the flip side of the question is, of what you're proud of, is what setbacks? Any setbacks you've had, any challenges you've had that have particularly been instrumental to your growth and development?
Absolutely, and I think the setbacks is such a great learning opportunity. I've had many, by the way, throughout my career. Setbacks are usually the entrenched kind of, we've always done it this way before, type of mentality that sets you spinning. So you're running really fast, but in circles. And it's because, you know, it is a transformation and it is a disruption that has to occur in our healthcare system. Don't let that get to you, by the way, because it gets to me. You know, when you're trying to formulate a plan, put an ROI, understand technology, understand information, automating some of these processes, and then you present it and people go, yeah, but, you know, we've never done it that way before. You know, so that's really where a lot of my setback come from is teaching the religion of value-based and population health management that sometimes is hard.
Well, fantastic. And the concept of, it's not one big setback, it's the everyday challenge of fighting through bureaucracy, fighting through the mindset of like, hey, we've always done it this way, so you're doing it that way. And just what people don't realize that have had success, and you've had great success, is that there are so many little challenges that get in the way of success. And it's why you see, you know, different definitions of success, but it's a percentage bill that ends up being crazily successful because there's so many wars you have to fight to just get from point A to point B every day. And absolutely, part of organizations, and you said it well, is trying to get those setbacks, those challenges, those bureaucratic things out of the way of providers so that they can actually practice medicine to do great things. And so I love your thoughts on it. Gabe, one final question. Any advice on health system strategy or network strategy, any sort of overriding advice there that you want to share with the audience?
I would say inclusion and bring everybody to the table. And I know sometimes this is hard because there's too many cooks, but our healthcare systems in general are very convoluted. And, you know, primary care thinks differently about patient engagement than, for example, than a specialty based provider or a hospital or an FQHC or the payer, right? Whether it's CMS or the major payers out there, right? The community also should be involved in those discussions, right? Where are our patients going for care? So understanding really the topology of these organizations is such an extreme way of bringing the right stakeholders into the conversation around value-based, right? So setting up the KPIs, agreeing sometimes to something that's very small, you don't have to boil the ocean, really take it actionable, understand the data that you do have, bring the right people to the table, and then take action, and then go, right? And liberate the people and the leadership in those organizations and make them accountable for those results so that they're, you know, they don't go in circles. I think that's an important factor, both inclusion and setting up really short-term goals that can be accomplished in the next 2 weeks, right? So don't think about what's going to happen 5 years from now, and don't look at it from the perspective of, we have a contract on the table that's telling us that we're supposed to reduce readmissions by 3%. Well, yeah, that's an important factor, and I think from a contractual perspective, that's something that needs to be solved, right? But how do we do it as a community? How do we involve the right people and the right stakeholders in doing so?
No, and I love those thoughts. I mean, inclusiveness, and the more and more you can build consensus, be inclusive, get different opinions. And then in terms of key performance indicators, the worst thing you could have is 200 key performance indicators. You really need 3 to 5. And the worst thing you could do is be distracted by what are we doing 10, 15 years from now. And it's not that you don't want that vision, but that if you don't focus on what has to be done today, what has to be in the next few weeks, the next month, then nothing gets done because people have their eyes at 30,000 feet versus on the ground and what has to be done. And it's that great balance of mixing long and short. But Gabe, just fantastic. If people want to learn more about you or the Central Georgia Health Network, how can they learn more about you? Can they connect with you on LinkedIn? How are you accessible?
Absolutely. I am very active on LinkedIn and Twitter. I think that and Twitter handle is just my last name, Orthos. And you can find me. I think I'm the only Orthos in LinkedIn, so that's easy to find. I love conversations. I love having different points of views around things. I do tweet a lot, and I do post a lot of different articles, and because that's how I learn, and that's how I create my tribes. But I think it's important for everybody to do that, right? Give gifts every day of what you know. And we started the conversation of why I like to teach. Teach every day. That's my motto.
Well, that's fantastic, and I love that. And isn't it true that the best learning one does is by trying to teach? And so it's our own journey in learning, but by teaching, you learn more than any other way possible because you force yourself to learn the subject, stay up on the subject, stuff like that. Gabe, just a pleasure visiting with you this morning. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Scott, for the opportunity.